The Apostle Paul said these words, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart." Now, here we are at a time of great struggle in our nation. Well, it was at a great time of struggle that Abraham Lincoln, President Abraham Lincoln, declared the fourth Thursday of every November as a day of thanksgiving, and in his words, of thanks to our beneficent, he said, beneficent Heavenly Father which dwelleth in the heavens. He said that right in the middle of the Civil War, one of the greatest conflicts that America has ever seen. Well, we're in a conflict today. We're in a conflict of people against people. We're in a time of social upheaval. We're in a time when liberalism and conservatism are gnashing at one another. We're at a time of when people, many people want, seemingly want anarchy and lawlessness in our land. We're at a time when people don't know how to say thank you. We're at a time where people, well, they feel entitled, especially over these last 10 years. But I want to remind you, take you back to basics today. I want to remind you the reason for Thanksgiving is to give thanks. It's more than a turkey and a football game. It's a time to give thanks, but not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every day. And I want to give you 10 reasons to be thankful on Thanksgiving. And I believe they'll be a blessing to you. First of all, number one, because God's love endures forever. Psalm 107, verse 1, His love endures forever. Did you know that God loves you? Did you know that He cares about you, that He's concerned about you? You may say, well, I feel about a million miles away from God. Well, then call on His name, and suddenly He's closer to you than the very breath in your body. He loves you. He cares for you. He sent His Son Jesus to go to the cross to cut a new covenant, and He shed blood for the remission of sin. Number one, He loves you. His love endures forever. Number two, His grace is freely given to you by Christ Jesus. That's 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4. What is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor. You have a right to God's grace. You have a right to His unmerited favor. And I praise God for that. Number three, continuous victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said those words in 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. You and I are entitled to victory. You say, well, that means we're not going to have any losses? No, I didn't say that. I'm talking about an ultimate victory. The devil is not going to prevail over you in every area of your life. Now, the devil comes against me in many ways. The devil is also not a respecter of persons. The Lord is not a respecter, but neither is the devil. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But you and I have a Bible right to tell him to get out of our lives in the authority of Jesus' name. The Bible says, resist him and he will flee. He is not going to have an ultimate victory in our lives. He may win some battles, but he is not going to win the war. And so I remind you, you have a continuous victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then number four, Psalm 119, verse 62. We have righteous laws to guide us. Now, we have heavenly laws, laws given to us from heaven. You know the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not bear false witness. There are ten commandments. And as Christians, they are laws to guide us. They're not to harm us. They're to protect us. And just like we have laws here in our nation. We have laws in the books. We have speeding laws. We have traffic light laws. We have all kinds of laws that are on the books. They're not to hold us back. They are to protect us. So thank God. We have righteous laws to guide us. Psalm 19, verse 63. And then the Apostle Paul teaches us to sustain cheer, to cheer up ourselves, to uplift ourselves in the Lord, and also to uplift others. And he said to Philemon, who he wrote a letter to in Philemon 1:4, he said, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. Remember, you always have someone who's praying for you. You say, well, who? Well, me, for example. I'm praying over you every day. I'm praying for all my friends and partners, all those who watch me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and who send me emails and letters and prayer requests and call the Abundant Life Prayer Group. You have a prayer partner in me. Don't discount my prayers. I was praying over a man when I was in India. I was just in India 3 weeks ago. One of the pastors had come with a broken arm, and he had not been to the doctor. He had tried to makeshift set it himself, and he was in a great deal of pain and could not move it. And I laid my hands on him and prayed, and God instantaneously healed his arm. Well, he had not known before that I was praying for him, but I was. I had been praying for him for months, even though I never met him, because before I went to India, I began to pray over the pastors that would be in that conference. There were 1,060 pastors in the conference that we just had in India. And he was one of them. He didn't know I was praying for him. Now, I didn't know his name when I was praying, but I prayed over every pastor that would come to that conference. You have someone praying over you. Don't discount my prayers. I'm praying over you today, and that's why I'm believing you're going to have a great Thanksgiving. Number six is Psalm 118, verse 21. He has answered me, and he has become my salvation. Thank God that salvation is available. I was preaching this past Sunday in California, and at the close of the service, I gave an altar call. Well, there were maybe 300 or 400 people in the crowd, and there's a beautiful church. And I gave an invitation, and three ladies came forward to give their hearts to Christ, and they were weeping. It was such a beautiful sight. Now, someone will say, well, that's not very many, three people coming forward. Well, it's sure a lot better than not asking anybody at all. And I always believe in giving people an opportunity to repent of their sins and turn to God Almighty. Praise God. He has answered me, and he has become my salvation. Then number seven, he has redeemed us. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. You know, I've had some bad times in my life. And before I gave my heart to Christ, Jesus had already gone to the cross and redeemed me. All I had to do was to accept it. Now, it wasn't automatic. I had to do my part. But God had already done his part. And I have news for you. Jesus is not going to the cross again. But in order for salvation to work in our lives, we have to accept it. We have to receive it. You're not going to heaven just because, God loves you. You go to heaven because you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He has redeemed us. And remember, the Bible says that he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. All right. Number eight, he has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in his kingdom. That's Colossians 1:2. He has qualified you. You are qualified to share in his inheritance. Because of what Jesus did when he took on our sin and shame on the cross, because he took the stripes for our healing on his back, you and I have an inheritance right. And I thank God. My father, Earl Roberts, left me some things in his will. I inherited some things. And one of the things that my wife covets the most is my dad left her his Bible. And she loves that Bible so very much. And he left me some things in his will too, and I thank God for that. Well, I not only have that inheritance, but I have a heavenly inheritance. And then number nine, 1 Chronicles 16:34. Here's another reason to be thankful for Thanksgiving. Because God is good. When I was growing up in the 1950s, my dad coined the phrase, God is a good God, and the devil is a bad devil. He used to say that all over the world. I traveled with him in America and Canada and other nations. He would get up and he would say, God is a good God, and the devil is a bad devil. And my friend, it's just as true right now as it was then. God is good. God is ultimately good. He's not a bad God. He's a good God. He loves you. He cares about you. And he sent his son to prove his love. I remember the day when he called a great songwriter by the name of Stuart Hamlin and said, Stuart, would you write me a song and title it God is a Good God? And I still remember the words. God is a good God. Every heartache he understands. There is healing power, there are miracles in the touch of his wonderful hands. What he's done for others, he will do for you, if you'll only believe and trust him too. For God is a good God, and his goodness he will show to you. I still remember the words of that song. God is good, and he's a good God for you, in Jesus' name. And number 10, he is faithful and just, 1 John 1:9. The Bible says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. Listen to that. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you ever committed your life to Christ? Have you ever said, God, I'm a sinner. I don't know you. Have you been running from God? Has your relationship with God grown cold? Would you like to stand before his throne completely blameless? I know I would. Well, if you'd like to pray a prayer like that with me, then why don't you pray this prayer right now, out loud. Oh God, come on, you can do it. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, a backslider. I have missed the mark with my life, and I'm sorry. I repent. I change my mind. I turn my back on the past. I renounce the devil and all of his works. And I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Save me. Heal me. Deliver me and set me free. I reject the devil's grip on my life. And I receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You know, I was 19 when I prayed a prayer like that, and it stuck. I've never regretted giving my heart to God, and you won't either. And if you prayed that prayer with me, I'm so grateful. I'd like to know about it. Tell me here on Facebook, or email me at oralroberts.com/prayer, or write me, let me know, or call the Abundant Life Prayer Group. Let me know that you prayed that prayer today. God loves you, and he made his love an act of his giving when he sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to the cross, so that you and I might not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me know you prayed that prayer with me. I wish you could have seen the look in those three ladies' eyes on Sunday. They were weeping as they repented of their sins and asked Jesus Christ into their heart. And if that's you today, let me know about it. Praise God.